All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is August 28th at 5:40 p.m. Pacific, 8:40 p.m. Eastern. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. Our secretary is R. Paul Martin from WBAI, and he will start us off by calling the roll.
Okay. Tim Boyd.
Here.
John Crumshaw.
Present.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin. Here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manager Saba, Raul Salvador,
here,
Richard Giselle, Barbara Whipperman,
here.
We have eight. That's a quorum.
Okay, terrific. This meeting has no agenda except the continuation of the KPFK budget discussion. And since it's a special meeting called for that purpose, there's nothing to debate or discuss with regard to the agenda. That's the agenda. We don't have any minutes to approve, so I think we can pretty much go straight to it. Just to sort of keep people on the stream apprised, we began this process on the 19th of August at our regular meeting. We have already heard from the KPFK GM who joined us for that meeting, as well as the LSB Treasurer, Michael Novick, and the PNB Ranking Member, John Crumshaw, and we also reviewed a number of documents that were sent to us as a kind of minority report from the KPFK LSB Finance Committee. We identified a number of concerns with the budget draft, and we are trying to work our way through those to arrive at a recommendation for the full Pacifica National Board. So that's what we're doing. And in terms of sort of how to proceed, I think probably we should finish taking a look at the minority report document and see what of the concerns there we embrace or want to further deal with. And basically, I think it's a question at this point of what modifications, if any, the committee feels it needs to kind of take up. I know that for me, there's one or two concerns that are pretty central with this budget, and I assume that other members of the committee have thoughts about that as well. Let me start by asking the folks from LA if in the ensuing period of time they have any additional updates or thoughts that they want to bring to the committee. And we'll start with Michael Novick, then we'll go to John Crumshaw.
Well, I at the last meeting, I said I would ask Mayor Duncan if he could adjust it to include the additional funding that we felt was necessary for the election process, because I had misunderstood the discussion we had with KPFT. I thought they were only adding a small amount for LES, additional LES, so that when that was clarified, it could be revised further to add an additional $20,000, and that would take money out of some funding that was planned for direct mail campaigns, essentially. It would reduce that and increase the amount scheduled on the line for the LSB election expenses. As far as the question that was raised about the benefits for the board ops, I was informed by the management that the agreement that was reached calls for benefits for anybody making more than working more than 70 and a half hours, I believe it is, and all of the board ops at KPFK are currently working that amount and receiving benefits, and benefits are computed salary expenses that are on the budget.
I'm sorry, Michael, could you repeat that about the board ops? I didn't quite catch the point.
There was a blip in the middle.
There was some, I don't know, somebody got on, I think. I was saying that in the what you referred to as a minority report or a follow-up to it, I don't know, I got a couple of different documents from Kim, but she was raising a question about whether the board ops were in fact getting benefits because they're not working half-time. And my understanding is that the agreement that was reached, between Pacifica and the union on that question was that the board ops would get benefits for working more than 70 and a half hours. All of them are working more than 70 and a half hours. All of them are receiving benefits. Those benefits are factored into the payroll expense cost.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Budget.
Yeah, great.
This is Richard. I came on.
Oh, hi, Richard. Welcome.
Hey.
We're just hearing from the LA folks. Then we'll probably go to the CFO, and then we'll go back to sort of the rest of the committee about where people are at with this. So, John, do you have any updates or thoughts since the last time we took a look at this budget?
The only question I have is because of the discrepancy in some of the funding amounts with the minority report and the submitted budget, I am interested in what process the NFC will follow in order to determine what is most accurate.
Yep, that's an important question. Okay, let's go to Raul next, the CFO, who hopefully was going to have a little info about the actual to date to kind of help us, and maybe you can tell us what you've done between now and then, Raul.
Okay. There's an echo. I'm working on the current year financials. I have a preliminary report that I sent out to the GM and the business managers to go over the P&L stuff. And I gave it to them on a month-to-month basis so that we could easily determine if there are any missing entries onto the current year financials. And we have some major, items that we have not entered since the beginning of this fiscal year. And so that's what we're working on right now. But I think the format that we're going to be sending the board and the management will be easily understood. What we're sending you would be interfinancial statements through the third quarter, which is through June, and another set of financial statements for end of July. So those are the open statements. And by tomorrow or Friday, I could send you the preliminary P&L, and you could review them so that before I finalize them, if you have any questions, I will send it to the individual managers and local LSBs, as well as finance committee, so that they have access to those information through July 31st.
Okay, I think there are a couple specific numbers that were of concern and germane to this particular budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, do you have any preliminary figures in terms of where KPFK is at to date this year? I think some of the specific numbers that are of most interest are the listener support to date.
Correct.
Premium cost to date.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to take a little look at sort of how the depreciation was assessed and what numbers we were looking at in the last audit process. Maybe those three are the most immediate.
I could actually provide you that right now.
That'd be great.
I'm kind of confused because I thought I was giving it to another station, but maybe not. KPFK, let's see here.
You know, with all disclaimers that these are preliminary figures, and I understand what we're saying, and that's just...
Right.
So...
in good condition right now because it's really actual, you know, entries. Let's see. No, just okay, so WPFK. The listener support to date, we have through July is at $2,687,773 versus a year-to-date budget of $2,563,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then the premiums we have so far is at $440,000, $440,424.
Mm-hmm.
That's the actual through July versus the budgeted amount of
$252,484. Right. Okay, and the last figure I guess I was looking for is,
I want,
and actually the Finance Committee probably has this, is where we are with the last depreciation assessment, which I guess would have been done for 2012.
Depreciation. Okay. The depreciation, that's one of the things that we're trying to update. But I could give you an estimate based on the first 5 months that I have here.
Okay.
To date, it's $59,770. The depreciation, monthly depreciation expense is about $5,900 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to annualize that and multiply that by 12.
Okay, that works. Thank you. Those numbers are helpful.
And okay. I wanted to add also, this is kind of important when we're talking about the premiums. The premium shipping expenses is also very, very important when we do our budget. And this is also a part of when we report our listener support information as part of the AFRs that we submit to the CPD for their evaluation of what amount we're going to be granted. Both the premiums cost and the shipping will be netted out from the listener support numbers, and the listener and the premiums shipping cost year to date through July is $70,500 right now.
Oh wow,
yes.
That's a lot.
Yes, and that is shipping about $440,000 worth of premiums.
Okay. Well, I have some initial thoughts on where those numbers, you know, sort of draw the attention to. So maybe I'll just throw them out there, and then we can take a look at sort of what that means for the overall budget draft.
to Tracy. This is Jim.
Yeah.
Was there any question about salaries, about actual versus budgeted? About having some extra EFTs above what there may have been budgeted?
I think that was more of a direct concern with KPFA than with KPFK. But I think it would be helpful, again, Raul, are the year-to-dates on that in any kind of shape?
I can give you the salaries and related expenses right now as the for July. To date, through July.
This is from K, right?
KPFK.
Mm-hmm.
We are at $1,174,458.
Okay. That sounds reasonably in line with the budget. That's good.
But that's only like 10 months, so...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
I know, you have to string it out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound over where it was approximately supposed to be, so that's good.
Okay. And then the other related costs to personnel and payroll would be about... $296,850.
Okay, so that sounds like it's at about 1.4, and the place where it's supposed to be is about 1.7, 1.75, and two more months would take one to about there. So that sounds like it's at about the budgeted level. And, you know, that may or may not make sense going into 2014, but it sounds like it's running pretty much where it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Our year-to-date, just for perspective, our year-to-date budget for the total of the salaries and related expenses would have been, for 10 months, $1,317,000.
Okay.
So we're a little bit $150,000 over.
Are we really? That much?
Yeah. I think it's mostly, I can tell you it's mostly taxes and benefits.
Yeah.
And salaries.
Okay. We may need a breakdown on that.
Yeah.
But anyway. All kinds of problems. All right. So let me give my spiel on where I think we have to go here, just in terms of sort of broad strokes. And, you know, people may disagree and think other things, but I think we have to look carefully at the premium costs. Reducing premium costs is a good goal, and it is something clearly that KPFK has to do. But I think we have to look at the scope of reform and not be overambitious in terms of what can actually be done to change the current way of doing things and whether that's going to have an impact on the total amount of listener support, because there's a relationship between the two. And I think in the draft budget, it's been sort of the link between the two has been kind of broken, and what's been set out is an ideal that we can increase listener support and decrease premiums at the same time. And I think while the station needs to work in that direction, achieving it to the extent laid out in the budget might be a very ambitious goal. And we might want to find some space between what we're hoping to achieve and what we realistically think that we're going to achieve. So that's one. The LSB costs, as Michael said, do need to be inserted into the budget. That's a small amount, but it's valid. Let me just finish my spiel,
sure.
Michael.
Okay.
It'll take a second. I just want to put out like a couple of areas for us to kind of prioritize our attention to. That's all. And I think the election expenses to be inserted. I think that we need to set the depreciation level to what's accurate, and I appreciate Raul saying $5,900 a month. That's a clear number, and that tells us where we should be. So I think those are some top priorities, and I think if we address those three things, the rest of the shape of the budget will kind of come to us. So those are my thoughts. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify something based on yesterday's discussion. What I came to understand from that discussion about KPFA is that the formulas that are built into the template that produces the budget essentially set the development costs and premium costs as a result of the listener support. I was wondering if Earl can clarify that. When I raised Kim's concern with the general manager, and he agreed that actually a lot of those numbers are not pie in the sky, but they're what come out of the template because they calculate a certain amount of reasonable expense for premium, you know, and development expenses to generate the kind of listener support you're looking for. The problem at KPFK has been that they've broken the budget on those costs, and that was particularly in the October drive with that water purification system from Gary Null, which was extremely expensive and expensive to ship, and I think the bulk of the overage came out of that, not the entire amount. I mean, I think KPFK has been running over the network standard on this for a while, so I really think it's vital to try to bring those into line and for the management to seek to, you know, live within a budget that brings those expenses down. So that's what I felt this one did. But if Raul could clarify sort of how those development expenses and premium expenses are generated by the budget template, if that's the case, or how much give there is in them.
Let me intervene here because we need to deal with KPFK's budget tonight and not get sidetracked into other station budgets. We will deal with KPFA.
I'm talking about KPFK. I'm saying that my understanding is that those premium expenses that are generated in the budget are generated via the template formulas that come out of the listener support. So I'm asking if Raul can clarify that for the KPFK budget.
Let me clarify a bit because I've been through a lot of these budget cycles. And the first thing to say is that we're not slaves to any Excel formulas or templates. Our job here is to do what's reasonable based on the history of the station and the financial results that we're looking at. And in the case of KPFK, listener support has been in the vicinity of $2.9 to $3.2 million for the past four budgets, and the premium numbers have gone up and down substantially in terms of both how they've been budgeted, how they've been presented, and what numbers have actually been spent. So this particular number that's been inserted is a choice that someone made. And it's a choice that we need to analyze in terms of how it's going to work, not in terms of the Excel formula that generated it. In other words, we control the formulas. The formulas don't control us. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that the goal has to be to reduce the premium expense because it's so far out of line with what the rest of the network and the...
Absolutely. And the formula that you're striving for is about 9-to-1. However, KPFK historically has been more in the 6-to-1, 7-to-1 ratio. So the question becomes, can you make the jump in 1 year? Are you prepared to do that? And if you should do that, is your listener support going to come down a bit because people are used to the kinds of fund drives that you've been running? And what's the midpoint between what you have been doing and what you want to be doing in the future? If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think there are different proposals we've made at the station level, and some of them were addressed last week when we first addressed the
question
about off-air fundraising, call-outs to people who have not paid their pledges either previously or currently, other strategies for trying to increase the actual percentage of fulfillment that we get. And then also, I think, we've talked about doing more training for programmers. Part of what happens at KPFK is that there's a tremendous amount of preemption during the fund drive and repeated use of a few programs pitching a certain set of premiums that then go on instead of a regular programming. And so then it's hard to ascertain really what levels of support the program themselves have because they've been preempted. So I think all of those things need to be changed, and we're trying to do that step by step.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone supports you in that. Okay, so let's start with some easy stuff. We've been given by the CFO a number for depreciation of $5,900 a month. And I think if we take that number and multiply it by 12, that's pretty straightforward. And that will give us what number needs to be in that category. So let's see. 6,000 times 10 is 60,000. 72 is 12 times 6, less 1,200. 72,000 looks like about
70,000.
Okay. And what number do we have currently in there? I think it's 60 something.
Lost my copy of the budget.
Right now you have under depreciation $86,000. Oh, I'm sorry, $62,000.
62. Okay. So there's another 8 going into there. On the election expenses, there's $6,000 in there. I'm going to assume that some of the nonsense from the 2012 election is not going to be repeated. So let's work with some reasonable numbers.
Based on this, that's what I was saying, based on the question last month, I think they added in, or they could add in another $20,000 on that line, which would be about $26,000 for the election expenses, and they would take it out of some of the direct mail costs that were currently in there.
That sounds about right. Okay, so those two are pretty straightforward. They knock us about $30,000 out of alignment, but that's okay. Let's start to grapple with the listener support premium items. And then we'll see sort of how off-kilter those adjustments make us. So going with the number of $440,000, and we know that we have one more fund drive this year. That was a $400,000 fund drive, so presumably there are premiums there of $40,000 to $60,000. The loose guesstimate for how much was spent was $500,000. And we know that we don't want to repeat that. We know that a good chunk of that was water filters, and we're not going to do that again. The water filter overrun was primarily in the fall of 2012, and it looked like it was about a 60% over budget on premiums. I think we can quantify that number as somewhere in the vicinity of about $100,000 in water premiums that we're not going to do again. So if we take that out, then it seems to me that we're in a number that's around 400 grand.
John, to the staff?
Yeah.
The $100,000 may be over budget, but something would have to replace it.
What? Uh-huh.
Wouldn't be zero.
Right.
I mean, we had this discussion at the time because that was like so far out of line. It was like the amount that the station realized was less than half of the value or cost of the premium. Plus, the station had big shipping expenses on top of that.
Right.
So, really, that's kind of, like, you know, you can't do anything like that. And they have shifted a good deal, as Doug explained on the last call, to quite a few of the premiums have been almost zero cost for many of these sort of personal improvement plan type premiums that are, you know, sort of digital downloads of motivational material, let's say. And the cost has been very, very low on those. So I think shifting in that direction is essential. We can't do anything like that water filter. And the station did come up with some alternatives like that, priced on their own, other water purifiers that are, you know, I think might work as a premium that are much closer to the, you know, 8 or 9. Or 7 to 1.
8 to 1 or 9 to 1. Yeah. No, I mean, there's no doubt if you came in asking us to budget $500,000 for premiums, we would not do it.
Yeah.
So the number is going down. If we're talking about 3.16 in listener revenue, 10 to 1, which is about as good as it gets, takes us to about $315,000, which is about where you are. If we go on something like 8 to 1 or 9 to 1 or somewhere 7 to 1, somewhere in that vicinity, then we add about $30,000, give or take, for each ratio that we're dropping. Does that make sense? If 10 to 1 is $315,000, then 9 to 1 is 345, and 8 to 1 is 375, and so on. In broad numbers. Yeah.
Can I make an observation?
You can.
Okay, rather than suggesting that we would allow an 8 to 1 a premium ratio to listener support, I think that for control purposes, I think we need to hold management to maintain that 10-to-1 goal. The budget is a goal, and we need to make sure that management has the responsibility of keeping that ratio close to the 10-to-1. We don't want to budget a 7-to-1 just because last year it was 6-to-1. Last year was probably a mistake. Last year was probably underperformance of how we conduct our fund drives.
Raul, I have seen 5 KPFK budgets come through. It never come close to 10-to-1.
That's fine. And, you know, like I said, I've never seen, you know, I've just been here, but I think we should set a goal. If the goal is 10 to 1, we want to hold them responsible for the 10 to 1. I think management is showing that they are able to do this. They are presenting this budget as a goal of doing this. And so therefore, you know, we want to make sure that they have a plan to reduce that premium cost as a matter of objectives that we're talking about, which is the budget.
If we want to do that, if we want to take the most optimistic position possible, and I think that people will often tell you who've been around for a while, that we often set optimistic goals and don't achieve them. I mean, look at WBAI for the past 10 years. But I think, let me finish, that I think that we can do it one of two ways. We can challenge them to lower the premium that substantially, but then I think we have to not assume the maximum amount of listener support and response. Alternatively, we can give them a little bit of room to bring their ratio down from the somewhat catastrophic level that they're at now, but give them a little bit of room to meet 75% of the goal or something like that, but not, I mean, if we get better results than budgeted, that's terrific. That never happens around here, but it would be nice. And we're talking about a station that's posting a six-figure deficit now for the past 2 years. So just to get back to zero involves improving performance.
And I wanted to set up
a situation where we lock in fixed expenses based on the most optimistic scenario is a recipe for coming up short. And we're trying not to set a plan that will lead to failure. We're trying to set up a plan that encourages positive performance and steady improvement.
I understand your concern, Tracy, and I understand what was going on in the previous years. But I wanted to see if this is a budget submitted by management and they feel that this is realistic for them and they feel that they have a plan of action on how to reduce this premium cost, then that is fine. But what's lacking in the previous years are oversight, review, and analysis of performance periodically during the year. That has not happened. I don't think that has happened in the past. I think during the first 2-3 months, if you see that they're not doing any indication that they're reducing these premiums and they're still maintaining that high end, then things need to change. They need to act. Either they reduce their other costs or they increase their listener support in some other ways. That's what I call managing. We need an oversight. We need accountability for this budget. We just don't do this budget because we wanted to have a budget. And then, it turned out to be 5-1. Where's the accountability? We need to have accountability with management. And I'm here now because we wanted to make sure that we review this P&L actuals versus budget on a monthly basis and we could see what's going on here to date. If year to date they're still doing a 5-1, 6-1, there's a problem. Now we can have a performance.
Yes, we're trying to address the problem.
We will address the problem periodically, and this is it's part of the evaluation of management. And like I said, this is a budget, and if Michael Novick could say that this is coming from them. That they're holding it to demonstrate that they could operate this unit, this station, on these budgeted goals, then that's the goal. Now, my only other observation is that the premiums expenses compared to the budgeted premium cost for 2014, it's about 21%. Versus 16% of last year, of 2013 to date. And that indicates that even though our premiums cost is $440,000, we only spent 16% of shipping costs. That means that if we are
sending $312,000 worth of premiums, we should only be spending $50,000 based on last year's historical information.
Uh-huh.
So that's where the changes should be.
Uh-huh.
Not, I don't think that we could say, let's increase your budget for premiums when it's, you know, when the management represent that it's, you know, that they could do this.
Well, I've heard a lot of management representations over the years.
And accountability is that
the accountability is that we have a lot of managers turning over frequently, and it is worth mentioning that KPFK's management is going to turn over in the next year, and we know that.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go to some other folks on the committee about what they're thinking here. I think you need to put in either a realistic premium figure or an ambitious premium figure with a corresponding prudence regarding customer support. Because you have people who are used to a fund drive pattern of a certain kind and a very clear relationship between the kinds of premiums that are offered and the kinds of money that comes through the door. And I think we have to pay attention to that history and not occupy some other land where things are different. Okay. What do the rest of you all think? You've heard these positions.
This is Richard.
My name is Jane.
Yes, Richard.
Hi, you're talking.
Because of information, I just wanted to say I'm on.
We're very glad to have you. Welcome.
I want to interrupt everybody.
Thank you. All right. So let's go to Richard.
I have a comment later.
Okay. Let's go to Richard.
You were talking about history, and I had a couple questions about how far over budget is K this year, and how far over budget were they last year?
Over budget in what category?
In the whole thing. How far in the red were they this year, and how far in the red last year?
I believe it was 190 for the fiscal year ending 2012. For the year that's in process, I believe that it's looking at least that bad, maybe a bit worse, in that vicinity.
You know, I see probably in all of these budgets that we're looking at, optimistic. You know, we all love to be optimistic. But that optimism has gotten us in a real hole. And I'm wondering if it might not be a good idea to dial back our optimism and start being painfully realistic and get these numbers in more realistic areas.
Okay. Manager, you said you had a comment?
Yes. As somebody who hasn't been here, I haven't been on the committee at all, and I haven't been here much for the past 3 months at least. I have a question. I hear Raul talking about accountability, supervising, checking, and all that, and I think I understand the history. I would like to support what he says, and I really appreciate that because I think from what I have generally seen, there is no sense of accountability and supervision and responsibility. People just say something and do something totally, have done something totally different. I like your approach, Raul, but I would like to see how would you do this? Why? How could you do this and other people couldn't do that? I would like some explanation of that from you so I understand how strongly I would like to, at the end, to support your argument. Thanks.
Okay. I think the answer to that question has to come from the LSB treasurer as sort of not the management representative, because you're not, Michael, but the one with the clearest understanding of what management presented in support of this budget. Of course, we heard from the GM on the 19th. but you can certainly paraphrase that. Michael?
Well, sure. I'll go back to the genesis of this budget. Essentially, last year the NSC, the LSB never acted on a budget. The NSC came up with a budget that cut two positions. That was never carried out by management. I can't speak to that. I wasn't the treasurer then. This budget going forward does eliminate two positions to try to bring the expenses more into line with revenues. And to project the other big factor that has always been an issue but really came up during the course of this year was the premium cuts, which is part of the reason we're we had the revision in the CPB funding, because the cost was so out of line that it really reduced the effective amount of listener support,
right,
as far as they were concerned, as far as reality is concerned. So that came up in the October drive. It was the one particular thing that blew the lid off was this water purifier, which had less than a 1-to-1. Forget 5-to-1 or 8-to-1 or 10-to-1. The provider was getting more of the value of the premium than the station was getting, and out of the station cut, we then had to pay shipping. So that was, you know, we raised holy hell from the finance committee and his treasurer, local station board, and that they promised to not do that again. Now they did do it a little bit in May, but they got a better deal on it, so that at least it was, you know, not the lion's share going to the provider. And they limited the amount that the number of units. So it was there was a little glitch in May, in the beginning of the fund drive. The May fund drive, whatever figures you look at, essentially, I'm not sure where the $200,000 thing came from, but when this budget was presented to the LSB by the management, they referred to the fact that May essentially came in about $120,000 over budget. Now, I think that was rounded up, but even Kim's figures show essentially $110,000 or something like that over. And that's roughly projected to what they're anticipating in additional listener revenues over the course of the year above what they're getting for this year. So that's the rationale for this budget, is that it does cut the premium expenses down to what it's supposed to be. It eliminates two payroll positions by attrition. I can't go into that. And it assumes an increase in the CAR. That was the other thing that Kim raised. So I don't have all the details. My understanding was that it was a national deal, essentially, they were trying to make with somebody who provides the, donate your auto program for other stations. That was better than what KPFK was getting. When the people providing to KPSK were informed by our management, they offered to meet or better any deal. So I don't know where that stands with summer and so on. But one way or the other, they anticipate an increase in the revenues from the autos above and beyond what they made this year, because the deal would be substantially better, and because it's across the whole network, there's some kind of premium that kicks in when you get a certain number of vehicles. So those are the major increases in revenue that are projected, a small increase in listener support, a greater effort at getting off-air fundraising through bequests and direct mail and call-outs to try to improve the fulfillment rate, and they cut two positions. So that's the basis of the budget. That's the basis on which the LSB approved it. It was a 2-to-1 vote on the LSB. It was not a factional vote, despite what was
presented. Okay, so that's your answer, Manager.
Can I say something, address Manager's question as
well? Well, hold on a second. I want to let the other members of the committee who haven't weighed in here. So we have R. Paul, we have Tony, we have Jim. We have Barbara. Any thoughts from any of you?
Well, I have thoughts, but they were not specifically about the premiums, so I don't know if we want to go back to one of the other items, and I have a question.
No, let's wait. Let's keep this on the premium listener support question.
And I would like to hear what Raul has to say.
Okay. Jim or Paul?
Yeah, this
any
Jim,
thoughts on this?
What was the total loss on the filters?
Well, it was never a loss. It was just that the amount of money we made on it was, small.
Too small.
Okay. I misspoke. If the filters had not been used as a premium, how much would have been saved?
What I can tell you is that KPFK's premium costs in the fall of 2012, the one quarter of the fiscal year, were at $250,000.
Yeah. By
December 2012.
That was the more than half.
And there had been $1 million fund drive, and then in December, an approximately, $400,000 fund drive, give or take. And probably not all the premiums had been bought for December. So they were on a pace from that first quarter to spend some $750,000 in premiums if that pace had continued. It did not.
It did.
But I think it's safe to say that the premium expenses were twice what they should have been for that period of time.
Can I say one other thing about that? The argument we've made consistently to the management is that the person who pays for the premium has no idea about what the split is, and they only know how much money is going out of their pocket. And so if you can, we have a lot of people who get, contribute a couple times during the year, but if they're paying $250 or $300 for this premium, that's it for the year. As if they did make money on the premium, but at the cost of additional premiums, I think, to the same people. That's the other factor. So I think eliminating those really high-end premiums in the long run is more productive of listener support, actually, because listeners will, either schedule payments or, contribute again later in the year.
We have a little background noise, it sounds like. Jim, that's the answer to your question, in as much as we have it.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering if management isn't using the budget, proposed budget, or past budget as a basis for premiums, what difference does it make if it's 6-1 or 10-1?
I'm sorry?
Okay, if management isn't following the budget, what difference does it make if it's a 10-1 ratio or a 6-1 ratio?
Well, that goes to the assumption of management needs to follow budgets. Right?
Yeah, they didn't last year, though.
No, they didn't. We had a severe problem, and that is not the only way in which the budget was not followed. There are other ways. And if the budget had been followed, probably the operating deficit would have been smaller or gone.
I'm leaning more towards 10-1 than 6-1.
Yeah. I think we all are. The question is just, are we going to go there? Okay. Anything else, Jim?
No.
Okay. Arpal, Tony, anything on the premium to listener support question?
Arpal? I don't have any strong opinions on it at this point.
Okay. Arpal?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yes. The main part of the discussion is, people not adhering to the budget and there being no consequence to this, and nobody saying, hey, you, what are you doing here? And that's the big problem. It's a problem throughout Pacifica, and not just with premiums, but with a great many other things. And I would say the thing to do is to make it in the the idea should be it should be 10 to 1. That's been the idea since they started premium 20 or so or more years ago. I forget how long we did that. I remember the eons before premium. And maybe give people the possibility to do, maybe a 9 to 1 and get away with it. But running it lower than that, is going to kill things. And if they can't make a premium at around about 10 to 1, they need to find some other premium. I mean, I know that part of the deal here is that it can be difficult to find a good premium. One of the difficulties at BAI for years was, people didn't have the ability to come up with a small set of premiums that would be attractive. And so they adopted a scattershot approach where they would throw premiums up. Did anybody buy it? No. Okay. Other premium, and they would just keep swapping until they found something people would spring for. As a result, WBAI had over 200 premiums for a number of on-air fundraisers. At one point, I think we had close to 400 premiums for the on-air fundraisers. And the thing is, figuring out what people are going to buy, what people are going to find attractive like that, is a big deal skill. If you're really capable of doing that on a regular basis, you can get yourself a job doing a similar thing, selling other things, and you can make tens of millions of dollars a year personally. So part of the problem is we're asking managements to exercise some really tremendous talents and skills that if they had them, they'd probably be making, eight-figure salaries. So, that's the deal. I mean, that's one of the things. So that's one of the things for all of Pacifica. People are unpaid or paid low, and, somebody shows up and finds out they can do something, they migrate to Moneyland. So I think we need to tell people, look, try to make this about 10 to 1-ish. If people go to like 9 to 1, see if it's tolerable. But don't let people go really below that, because otherwise you're on the proverbial slippery slope, and it goes down more, and people make mistakes, and it's a big screw up. I mean, if you look at all the stations, this problem is a major problem with the premiums and all the stuff that's involved with premiums. So I would say that the stuff we're hearing about people being held accountable is extremely important, and I think we should tend to tell them, we want to see the premiums be in the area of 10 to 1, 9 to 1 we live with, and tell them they got to start looking for premiums that will fly. And if they can't, then they got to start thinking of other ways to do things, which I think may be the bigger, more important question. Anyway, that's my point.
Okay, thank you for that, and I actually agree. And that's leading to another set of thoughts about this. Well, why don't you go ahead, and then I'll make a suggestion.